Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Something happened to me just to kind of set the preface for, we're going to read in just a moment. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel. Chapter 9. We will stand for the reading of the word if you're able to in just a moment. Something happened to me that forever changed my life, but when it was happening, I did not know it. When it was happening to me, it was a tragedy. My wildest dreams had been crushed. Oh, God. I got to tell you what happened. I was 10 years old, and the time came in our school that I was going to for fifth graders to get to select a band instrument. And so you would show up on this Monday night and with all of your classmates, and you would get in line and you'd get up to the high school band teacher would be there, and you would say to him what instrument you would want to play, and then they would give you one, and you were committing to play that for the next 8-9 years. They were going to train you to play that instrument. Well, my wildest dream was to be a drummer for a glam rock band. I wanted the big hair. I wanted the face paint, the spandex. Oh, if I could just be the drummer of a glam rock band. Oh, my. I would be. It's everything I ever wanted. Does anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? No, you didn't listen to those at all. Well, I did, and I wanted to be their drummer. But something happened to me on that exciting day. And as you can tell, today I'm not a drummer of a rock band. Wah, wah. Something else has happened. Something not in my wildest imaginations would happen, but that day was very significant. My dreams were broken, tears in my eyes, the band teacher, who I was terrified of because he was very much bigger than me, said something to me that forever changed the course of my life. What did he say? I'll share it in a minute. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9. And as you do, would you stand with me if you're able to? And let's read together. I'm reading from the NIV. It says, there was a Benjamite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, son of Zeror, and some other people. Verse 2, he had a son named Saul, an impressive young man without equal among the Israelites, a head taller than any of the others. Now the donkeys belonging to Saul's father Kish were lost, and Kish said to his son Saul, take one of the servants with you and go and look for the donkeys. So he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and through the area around Shalisha, but they did not find them. They went on into the district of Shalem, but the donkeys were not there. Then he passed through the territory of Benjamin, but they did not find them. When they reached the district of Zuph, Saul said to the servant who was with him, come, let's go back, or my father will stop thinking about the donkeys and start worrying about us. But the servant replied, look, in this town there is a man of God. He is highly respected, and everything he says comes true. Let's go there now. Perhaps he will tell us what way to take. Father, come speak to us today. Lord, I pray you'd give me an anointing to share the word that you've impressed upon me. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. The donkeys are lost. No one knows where they are. Saul started his day out like any other day, and then he got and some instructions from his dad to go find them. And he only took one servant with him. I guess maybe it was something that's not uncommon, just need one person to help. And they spend however long, 1 day, 2 days, traveling the country, and they're nowhere to be found. Saul doesn't know it, but he's been set up. He's not been set up by his dad. His dad has nothing to do with it other than he wants his donkeys returned. And he's not been set up by the man of God whom his servant talked about. The servant didn't set him up. It was actually God that set him up. This is one of the most incredible stories to me. It's so personal to me because it's one of the, I guess if you will, defining stories of my life and my family. Lost donkeys. And it could be that tonight you need to hear about them because perhaps your donkeys have been lost and no one knows where they are and you don't know where they are and you've been looking for them. If so, this word is for you. I may not be talking about donkeys, but it could be something else. And you're here tonight to hear this word about Saul looking for his donkeys. It's a powerful word because it gives us a picture of thinking bigger about God and just who is this God that we serve? Because even after serving him for so long, you start to realize you barely scratch the surface of his wisdom, his ability, his mercy. So let's take a look at what Saul discovers about God and thinking bigger. So his servant, thank God for the servant, says to him, let's go see the man of God because the man of God is accurate. He hears from the Lord and whatever he says come to pass. So we're going to pick up on verse 14. Look down in your Bible, look at verse 14. They went up to the town and as they were entering it, there was Samuel coming toward them on his way up to the high place. Oh, now this is interesting. If you've never read this, you need to highlight it, underline it, star it, circle it. Now, the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel. About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him leader over my people, Israel, and he will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked upon my people, for their cry has reached me. Let's pause. What's the cry? They're longing for a king. Much to God's, against God's wisdom, they cried out for a king, and he's going to give them one. So he searches the land, and he finds this young man named Saul. Saul has no idea what's about to happen. He's just looking for the donkeys, and he's very frustrated. He's embarrassed. He's ready to go back home, utter failure, can't find them. They're nowhere to be found. But something bigger is happening that he has no idea is about to transpire. Let's find out. Let's keep reading. Verse 17, when Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, "This is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people." Saul approached Samuel in the gateway and asked, "Would you please tell me where the seer's house is?" "I am the seer," Samuel replied. "Go up ahead of me to the high place, for today you are to eat with me. And in the morning, I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. As for the donkeys you lost 3 days ago, do not worry about them. They have been found. And to whom is all the desire of Israel turned, if not to you and all your father's family?" Saul is blown away right here. He can't believe Samuel would say something like this to him. All of a sudden, he's seeing that there's a bigger picture here than lost donkeys. All of Israel's heart is turned to me and my family. What are you talking about? I'm looking for donkeys. Oh, but God's at work behind the scenes. God's been strategizing and moving things around. Something's going on here. All of Israel's attention is turned to you. Let's find out what happens next. So they're on their way up to the high place. Verse 22, then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and seated them at the head. Where? At the head of those who were invited, about 30 in number. There's 30 people sitting here waiting on him to show up. They don't know that's why they're there. Samuel has just told them, just sit there and wait. Somebody's coming to sit in that seat at the head. Interesting. Samuel said to the cook, bring the piece of meat I gave you, the one I told you to lay aside. Well, not only are the 30 people waiting on somebody to sit in this empty seat, the cook has been forewarned, somebody special's coming. Here's the special arrangements for them. They have no idea who it is. Only Samuel knows, but he's making all the arrangements, and Saul's out wandering, frustrated. Maybe he's crying. Maybe he's throwing a fit. Maybe he's ready to give up. He's already ready to go back. Maybe he's declaring this is a waste of time. Oh, but God's at work, and the arrangements are being made. And he's about to walk into a dinner party for him. He doesn't know that. Let's keep going. We're on verse 24. So the cook took up the leg with what was on it and set it in front of Saul. Samuel said, here is what has been kept for you. Eat, because it was set aside for you for this occasion. From the time I said I've invited guests, and Saul dined with Samuel that day. Saul was set up to be at this dinner party. Samuel's got everything arranged and specific instructions for the menu as well. This is an incredible story that I hope in some way, I'm not going to preach a long time, but I hope in some way strikes you and has you just take a moment to look at any circumstances you might be in, circumstances you're going in, and wonder, I wonder if God's doing something bigger than I can see myself. Maybe you feel like Saul and his servant. Maybe you're facing some things that have got you frustrated. Maybe they've got you wondering if this is a waste of time. Maybe they've got you wanting to quit. Quit looking, quit life, quit searching, quit going to church. Things are not the way you thought they were. Quit a job, quit a relationship, whatever it might be. It could be that you're chasing some donkeys you can't find yourself. Let's take a look at what happens here. So they're sitting down to eat this meal. They finish the meal. We're kind of going through the narrative here. And look at verse 25. I don't know if they have that, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. After they came down from the high place, so dinner's over. Saul's still wondering what's going on. Still hasn't got it figured out. After they came down from the high place to the town, Samuel talked with Saul on the roof of his house. They rose about daybreak, and Samuel called to Saul on the roof, get ready, and I will send you on your way. When Saul got ready, he and Samuel went outside together. As they were going down to the edge of town, Samuel said to Saul, tell your servant to go on. I've got a message from the Lord for you. I just said that, Pastor Kirsten version. And then we have the moment. Take a look at this, chapter 10. That's chapter 9. It's all about the donkeys and the dinner. Something amazing is about to happen. Take a look at chapter 10, verse 1. Then Samuel, so they're standing up on the roof of his house. He's about to leave town. Tells the servant to go on. He's got a special message from the Lord just for Samuel. Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? Absolutely incredible. The timing of God, the orchestration of God, the chemistry of God to put together all these things to get Saul where he needed to be to have that flask of oil poured over his head and a word from Samuel about what's about to happen. If you've ever read the chapter, the next few things that Samuel said to him are absolutely astounding. He gives him this incredible prophetic word about all these people that are going to come along his way as he returns home. And everything he says comes to pass exactly like he says it. And then Saul, with the company of prophets. So let me pause. In the Old Testament, not everyone was a prophet. Not everyone could prophesy. Not everyone was touched by the power of God to operate by the Spirit. The Spirit of God would only come upon someone for a brief moment to accomplish something, to do something. And in those days, if you wanted to hear from God, as we read, and you'll see it in that chapter, chapter 9, in order for you to speak with God, you went and found a prophet. So that's not Saul. However, on this day, he's joined in with the company of prophets and he starts prophesying himself. The power of God comes upon him in such a way that people are astounded. Is that Saul? Is that the son of Kish? He's prophesying with the prophets. It's an incredible moment that the power of God comes upon him. An anointing comes upon him, separate from the oil that was poured on him. It was the Spirit of God that came upon him in power. So what is it I'm sharing here today? I'm sharing about Saul because I want you to see yourself in maybe in the place of Saul, maybe in facing circumstances that seem very challenging for you, maybe like Saul. But I want to encourage, I want you to be encouraged today. God is the master of working behind the scenes to set you up for a day of promotion that you didn't see coming. And I'm here to be like Saul's servant in the story and compel you to seek the Lord regarding the circumstances that you're facing. Don't quit. Don't go backwards. Don't walk backwards. Move in faith. Keep pressing forward. Don't let the circumstances overwhelm you. Go seek the Lord. Let the Lord bring you to the place that He's got destined for you to be. Don't let the missing donkeys be so frustrating to you that you miss out on what God has for you. So who set Saul up with the missing donkeys? God did. God is a master of arranging circumstances to get us in position all throughout the Old Testament. As God is speaking with the patriarchs. Patriarchs, what's that? I don't know much about the Bible. What does that mean? It's the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacobs and the stories of at the beginning of the Old Testament. We call those the patriarchs. So, and when God's dealing with them, and when God's speaking to them, He frequently tells them to move to a different location. Now, the Old Testament is a picture book of New Testament realities, okay? So whatever you see happening in the Old Testament, it's like a picture or a story that tells us the way God works and operates in the New Testament. And frequently, there is a relocation of God's servants. And the way I like to say it is, God is a master of getting you in position for your next stage that He has for you. And that's exactly what He does in Saul's life. The donkeys needed to be lost. The donkeys needed to not be found. Have you ever thought about it that way? Maybe think about it that way. Think bigger. What happens if Saul finds the donkeys? He doesn't go see Samuel. What is it you might be facing that's putting you in a position to be right where God wants you to be? What is it that doesn't seem to come to a finish? Or what is it that makes you feel like you are drowning in a circumstance? Could it be God's got you set up to see him in a bigger way? Could it be that right around the corner, unbeknownst to you, is a dinner party with a seat at the head of the table that's empty, and you're going to walk right into it and don't even know it? But if you quit and throw a fit and go home with your Kleenex box, you're not going to get there. I'm here today to be Saul's servant to you and say, go to God, seek God. Now, we live in the New Testament. You don't have to go find a prophet. You can hear the word of the Lord. You can go to God yourself. You can operate in the spirit of prophecy. You can make declarations over your circumstance, your life, your family, your job, your finance, your kids. You can make those declarations over those because you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, something people in the Old Testament would dream to be filled with the Holy Ghost every day. They would love that. You can live like that. The promotion, the real reason the journey was needed was to put Saul at the dinner table and have that oil poured over him. There's so much more to this story. I want to encourage you, starting with chapter 9, read all the way through. It's amazing how God puts this together for Saul. What is he putting together for you? What's he putting together to get you in the right place, to promote you, to expand what he's doing in your life, to bring you to the next place in your walk with him? What I want you to hear today, if you're taking notes, what I want you to hear today, first of all, is God is the great orchestrator. He's the great chess master to move all the pieces to get you where he needs you to go. For someone willing to hear the word of the servant saying, let's go to God and see what God's saying about this. So what did my band teacher say to me? At the time, I thought it was the worst news possible. As I look back on it, I realize, oh, that was totally the Lord. See, I wanted to be the glam rock drummer. I would still love to play the drums. Mr. Toby, if you're ever missing a drummer, please. My son Akella is learning to play the drums. It's driving me insane. Because it's supposed to be me. No, it's not supposed to be me. But it would be fun. Don't tell him. When he's not home, I sneak up there and hit his drums with sticks. Ah, it feels like just amazing. Ah. So what was it the band teacher said? Oh my. Crushed my dream. He looks at me and he says, son, you've got fat lips. We're going to need you to play a brass instrument. And because he was so much larger than me, and I weighed 25 pounds with wet clothes on, I said, okay. He handed me a trombone. And I took the trombone. And I never played the drums. Oh, can you just feel sorry for me for a moment? Thank you. Thank you very much. However, I know it was the Lord. Because I wouldn't be here today. And I wouldn't have gotten to... There would be tens and tens of thousands of children around the world that would never hear the gospel had I played the drums on that day. What's happening in your life that might be like that? God's the great orchestrator. Yes, I wanted to play the drums, but I thank God today that I got to be here. I would have never met Kimmy if I was a rock drummer with glam makeup, big hair, lots of hairspray. Kayala, you do not have permission to Photoshop my face. It just came to me. That is not the Lord. Wherever you are, that's not the Lord. I don't know where he's at. Do not Photoshop my face over a glam rock drummer and give me some poster or something. That's not the Lord. Fat lips was the Lord. Second thing I want you to hear today is God does create circumstances to reposition us. Maybe not necessarily location every time, but God's in the business of repositioning our thinking about him, because he's so much bigger than we think he is, so much more wise than we think he is. And he's a master of setting us up to see him, to think bigger. You may be in that process today and you don't understand what's going on around you, but God does. And he knows how to turn every circumstance to your good. Every circumstance can be turned to good. The next thing I want you to hear from this short word today is God doesn't waste anything. Everything works together. Praise God. All things work for the good of those who trust in him, who are called according to his purposes. So even Saul, out what seems to be, he's chasing donkeys that he can't find and he's wasting time. He wasn't wasting time. The cook wasn't ready yet. The table wasn't set yet. The guests hadn't arrived yet. However long he spent looking for the donkeys, it was a required time for everything to be set up for him to walk into. If he'd have gone ahead of time, then he would have missed the dinner party. He would have arrived and gone on, and he would have missed the moment of promotion. God doesn't waste anything. He was right on time. The next thing I want you to hear is God has your best in mind. Look at the person next to you and say, God has your best in mind. What is the best for you? You know, we have trouble thinking that. We have trouble coming to a decision about actually what is best for us many times. I want to tell you a brief story, and I hope I don't get carried away, but this month marks 10 years my family has been here. It doesn't seem like that. Praise Jesus. 10 years. How's that even possible? I don't know. My kids were little when they came here, but just to tell you briefly, I'll try to make it brief. How did we get here? It's so interesting, and it goes right along with this word today. How did we get here? Well, my family and I, all my children were born on the island of Maui, and we were living in Kihei in a beautiful new home, 2 blocks from the beach. What am I doing moving? What? Well, something happened to me in 2012. I had a series of dreams. And those dreams were so real that I'd never had anything like that before. 5 of them, five in 5 weeks, 1 a week, at the end of 2012. And I did not want to tell Pastor Kimmy about those dreams. Some people like just want to tell everybody about the dreams God gives them. It doesn't work like that. I don't like to say anything unless I'm compelled by the Holy Ghost to. But I had these dreams, and I didn't want to say anything because in the first dream, I heard the voice of God. I woke up, and I heard the voice of God tell me, you're moving to Oregon. Well, as you can tell, this is not Oregon. I woke up from that dream and I'm like, Lord, why would I move to Oregon? Never even been there. Why would I'm 2 blocks from the beach. My kids are little. They're in school. We're in rhythm with ministry. I've got 100 to 150 volunteers a week. All of our events are huge. Why would I move? Being very fruitful in ministry in Maui as the children's pastor there. And after a couple of weeks, I put a fleece before the Lord. Anybody else do that? Yeah, he doesn't go by that for me. Maybe that works for you. He ignores that for me. The time came, I put this little thing. I wanted God to give me a sign to confirm that I had these dreams that were so real that I felt like I left my body and went somewhere in time and then came back. I mean, it was the craziest thing ever. So the time came for me for this fleece moment, and it didn't happen, and I was upset. So I went before the Lord. All right, Lord, I put it out there, and you didn't do anything. And the Holy Ghost arrests me and says to me, I gave you 5 dreams. If you don't respond, you're going to be judged. You don't want that. It was at that point I realized I don't need 15 confirmations to obey God when he speaks. I can obey him without 25 people telling me go for it. And so we moved to Oregon. As you can tell, this is not Oregon, right? So what are we doing here? So we're in Oregon, and we were there for 1 year, and it was very, extremely challenging. I found myself on my face weeping. My kids were little, weeping all the time because the fruitfulness we experienced, Maui, the big teams, the big events, none of that happened when we were in Oregon. And I uprooted my family and went to Oregon on the word of the Lord. I obeyed God. I was expecting a doubling and a tripling and the entire state saved in the first hour because I took this huge step of faith, moved across the ocean. Big moves. Anybody done a big move? Yeah, just burn everything. Just burn everything. It's all going to come back anyway. So we're in Oregon for a year, and it was so frustrating. And if you looked at our ministry, if you looked at our finance, if you looked at me personally, my emotional breakdown, it looks like I made the most horrid mistake you could ever make. And I repented over and over. Lord, if I missed you, I've messed this all up somehow. I'm in Oregon with my family, and nothing's going the way I expected it to go. We do an outreach, no one comes. I go to 200 doors, knocking on doors, and not one of them came to church. This happened over and over again. I passed out 5,000 tickets door to door. I worked my brains out, passing out for a special event, and no one come. 5,000? It's a little frustrating. At the end of the year, Dr. Morocco calls me and says, my brother, Christian. Have you ever talked to him? That's what he sounds like. My brother, Christian, tells me that we're going to need to move again. I just unpacked from a huge move. And so then he, on the phone, he says to me, you have a unique gift set, and there's some extensions that could use something that you bring to the table. Alaska was not one of them. Oh, did you hear me? What are we doing here? I don't even know if you know this story. What are we doing here? Well, I was ready to quit and go home, turn in the towel. I made my giant step of faith. I sacrificed everything that had to be sacrificed. And everything looks like I'm the biggest failure minister dad that there is. All the evidence is there to say Pastor Kirsten blew it on his decisions. Then Pastor Daniel called me on the phone. Now remember, Alaska was not one of the options from Dr. Morocco. Pastor Daniel calls me on the phone and says, have you ever considered moving to Alaska? No. I don't even know what that means. I know there's a lot of snow, except for this last year. I had to search to find it, right? I don't even know what that means for my family. I'm ready, and I told him, I'm ready to be done. I'm done with Kings. I'm done being a leader. I'm done being a minister. I'm done being a pastor. I'm not doing this anymore because all this has turned out like it was. So my wife and I prayed for a couple of weeks, and we had, I don't even know if you could measure it, just enough peace to make a decision. Just enough to make a decision. We packed up whatever we could fit in a U-Haul, gave away the rest, drove up to Alcan, and we arrived. And we made this decision. We're going to go to one church service. This is at Lucille Street. We're going to go to one service. And if it doesn't feel like home, we're out. We've never had that follow-up conversation in 10 years. Because from the first moment, so here's a little more that you may not be aware of. I told you I had 5 dreams. Well, the dream number 1, you're moving to Oregon. Dream number 5, I think, is the most interesting of them all. See, I had a dream that I was wearing a coat standing in a giant warehouse. And it was empty and echoey, and it was cold. And there were some significant people in the warehouse sitting around a table. And it was unique, the warehouse. On one side, it was shaped like a rectangle. And let's say this side. On one side is the opening to the warehouse, but it's not an opening like you would think a garage door or, you know, doors that open like this. It was like little mail slots up at the top. Very weird. Dreams are weird. Well, the other side of the warehouse is the interesting side. It was windows from the floor all the way to the ceiling. And on the other side of the windows was a giant river moving quickly. And we're sitting in this warehouse, and I don't say anything. Somebody says, here they come. And we all stand up, and we don't look at the windows, we look at the opening. And tens of thousands of salmon start filling the warehouse. And they're piling up in mountains. And I'm like, what is happening here? Where am I? There must be a salmon factory in my future. God's giving me a dream that I'm going to own a salmon factory. I'd been here about 1 year, and Pastor Daniel comes to staff meeting one day with a set of blueprints. And he says, we're experiencing tremendous growth. It's time for us to maybe start considering building a building where the barn is. I want everybody to take a look at these architectural drawings. They're kind of old, but why don't you just look at these drawings and ask questions? Tell me what you think. Let's just have a little think tank. So I'm there. I know nothing about buildings. I know nothing about drawings. And I'm looking at it, and I said, what's this big thing in the middle? He says, oh, that's the lobby. It's a big open area. Oh, okay. Why does this wall look like this? Oh, those are windows from the floor to the ceiling. In 2012, God spoke to me. But there's one more piece of the story why am I in Oregon? What am I doing in Oregon? If all the dreams are about being in Alaska, why am I in Oregon? Oh, see, he's the great orchestrator. And in the same way that Saul had to go look for some donkeys, I had to go to Oregon. Why? Oh, so after a couple of years of being here, I was invited to do a wedding back on Maui. And I go to this wedding, and there's Dr. Morocco and Dr. Janelle and all the staff sitting there, but I'm doing the wedding. They could have done the wedding, but it's me. And I finished the wedding, and I'm visiting with them, and Dr. Morocco walks up to me and says the most astounding thing. He says to me, it's a good thing you went to Oregon. I said, what? Makes no sense at all. He goes, if the Lord didn't send you to Oregon, I would have never let you go from Maui straight to Alaska. It was to usurp Dr. Morocco's will that he sent me a different route to get here. What's he doing in your life? What's he doing that you don't recognize? I'm here to be the servant of Saul today and say, go to God with whatever the circumstance is, because he's doing more than you can see him doing. He's got some things lined up that you didn't expect. And they're all good. His plans are good. His ways are good. His timing is good. Trust in him. He's the great orchestrator. Think bigger. He's at work in your life, accomplishing something that you have no idea about. Why don't you stand with me tonight? I hope you got something from God. I hope in some way I spark some faith in you that God is at work in your life. Minister Toby, I need some Lost Donkeys music. Just I need an original song. He'll be out here in a minute. So what was it I wanted you to hear? God's the great orchestrator, that he's creating circumstances to cause us to see him differently, that he doesn't waste anything, and he has your best in mind. He's working behind the scenes, and you can trust him. Do you have an original song about donkeys that we're looking for? Oh, Minister Toby. Hey, what's going on in your life? You probably don't recognize everything that's happening, but I know someone that does. He's the living God, and he's working, and he's orchestrating. Come on, why don't you just lift your hands and just begin to thank him for that frustrating. Maybe you're facing something similar to Saul, or maybe something from my stories that's quickened in you. Thank him that he's at work in your life. Come on, let's take a moment. Speak to the Lord. In whatever way this message about Saul spoke to you, Father, I know that you're at work. I know I don't have it all figured out. I thank you, God, I don't have to have it all figured out. You do. I thank you, God, you're the great orchestrator. I thank you, Lord, you're moving things around for my benefit. You're moving things around so I can see you bigger, so I can know you more. You're working in circumstances to affect me. It's my best you have in mind. Come on, make those declarations. You don't have to have a prophet say them over you. Make those declarations over your circumstance. I thank you, God, that it's good that you're after. I thank you, God, I don't understand what is always best, but you do. I'm going to surrender to you. Lord, I'm asking you today, your leadership in my life. Lord, that you would lead me, you would guide me, you'd cause my path to be the best that you have in mind. Bring me to the place of promotion, of enlarging, of blessing, of fruitfulness. Lord, I pray you bring that about for each person that's listening today, that you'd give them faith, fill them with faith today. Maybe you're facing a extreme circumstance. I'm praying for you right now. So I pray, God, for tremendous faith to be released that bypasses all the evidence that you're not at work, that you're not capable, all the evidence that's on a checklist of all the reasons why it doesn't seem like you're doing anything. God, you're the great orchestrator. I declare it over every person. I declare it over families, over businesses, over our finance, over our marriages today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be filled with faith. Be encouraged today. Be encouraged. Hallelujah. Turn to the person beside you and say, he's got it all figured out. Just hang in there. Tell somebody, hang in there. The dinner party's on the way. Hang in there. What a great word.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.